respond when you feel outnumbered? Show of hands, be honest, guys. Anybody ever felt like you didn't fit? Misfit, square peg, round hole, nonconformist, don't dress like the other ones there, don't wear the suit, don't wear the right dress, don't have the bonnets on, don't have the buns. How about, are any of you ever been called an oddball? Well, right from this day forward, you are just unique because God makes us all unique. So don't let people call you odd. You're unique. I remember the old show, The Odd Couple. And then how many of you just kind of sometimes feel like they're not listening to the same song I am? They're marching to a whole different beat. Anybody feel like that? Nope. See? Look, almost everybody in here has raised their hands. I bet these babies have even raised their hands. They're the cutest little things, aren't you? I'm telling you, we got the prettiest babies at this church. Well, I've often felt out, just like the odd man out. In my own family, I was the weirdo. At school, I was a weirdo. At my own church, I became a weirdo. But unique is when I adopted that name, because at family, it was our physical attribute sometimes. I was in the middle of six. I was the tall, skinny, lanky thing with buck teeth, the space of my teeth, red frizzy hair, freckles, and braces. None of the other ones in our siblings had any of that. Sorry, Billy. At school, because I was raised by a single parent, my father passed away when we were four of us still at home quite young. My mother was very protective of her little chicks. She knew what she knew, and she was going to protect us. So we didn't go to school dances. I never got to go to a father-daughter dance. I had my big, lumpy brother take me to the father-daughter thing. But at least I got to go. We didn't get to do a lot of school activities. Of course, this was in the 60s, and there was a few racial riots and things going on. So I can understand a mother keeping us a little bit protected from that. So in school, I was kind of an odd person out because I was one of them church girls also. At church, our church was too far for my single-parent mom, who worked a full-time job at night, slept some during the day, to get to go to all the church activities. Oh, I longed to go to the youth activities. I longed to get to be there all the time. We did get to go to every church camp she could find because that was a good babysitter, and she knew we were learning about Jesus at church camp. But as I grew up, I also recognized that there was more, and I was the only in my family to change denominations. That was weird. I was now weird again. I found out that there were other things outside of the four walls that I had grown up in. There were things like new language, anointed, Shekinah glory, Holy Ghost. Last week, we were blessed to have a baptism here. And I have to say, growing up, the only time I heard the Holy Ghost was buried in the likeness of his death, raised in the likeness of his resurrection, baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That was it. That's the only time I remember it being in 41 years of church mentioned. So it's like, wow, somebody forgot about that third person. And then them tongues. Oh, my. My family really thought my daughter-in-law, I think, thought we really swung off chandeliers. We didn't even have chandeliers, but I think she thought that. And then in the business, so I felt like an outcast in my own family. And then in business, I had my own business, and I didn't do it the way other people did it. I went with my heart. People would need what I had to offer. I wouldn't ask to sell it to them. You would think I would have never gotten anywhere in it, but I actually did. But it was because my mantra was, do unto the least of them as you do unto, and to prefer others, and to look and see everybody through God's eyes. And it was just always going to be that way. And even though my directors and stuff like that said, you're not going to get anywhere. I said, I don't want to go anywhere. I didn't join to go anywhere. I was just happy doing stuff. But I was introduced early in my career to people wanting what I had, even though I didn't know what I had was some that special. I would drive 40, 50 miles to help. A lady signed up for something, and so I went to do a little everything presentation. It was makeup. Get her all done. And I kind of walked up to the door, and the screen door was hanging, and it was kind of overgrown, and I thought, okay, what am I walking into? But I felt the Holy Spirit say, I gotcha. And after she gets all of her makeup and stuff on, she starts crying, and I'm like, well, you're going to mess it all up. Don't cry. I mean, we just spent all, and she says, you don't understand. I didn't know I could look like this. She says, I'm 7 days sober. And I never knew I could look like this again, that I wouldn't look all washed out. And, of course, I wasn't even going to try to sell her nothing because she needed somebody to fix her door. She didn't need mascara, but I gave her all kinds of stuff so she could do that. Another time in the same business, I arrived at an apartment complex of a lady who booked class, and she had all these young moms there with all these little toddlers and kids running around. Steph was, and the kids were just getting over chicken pox, so they all were itching and doing all this stuff, and I thought, oh my gosh, what have I walked into? But it was like, it doesn't matter to me. If one shows up or none show up, I'll do the same thing. If one of you would have come, Billy, if you're the only one, you'd still hear this. I did the same thing. At the end, I didn't want to try to sell them anything. It was a complex that they obviously needed their money, and stuff can be expensive. And she wanted to know, could she buy it on time? And I didn't have to leave it. And she was so faithful. Every week she would call me, and she would have $5, $10, whatever. At the end of her time, she got all of her stuff, and it was just a short time later that she contacted me, thanking me. She got a job. She was supporting her family. And the other ladies now wanted to do the same thing. And I thought, wow, some people would have turned around and walked away. And I thought, it wasn't me. It was God. Because every part of me, I mean, the kids dumped my stuff all over them. It was hilarious. But it's just like being in the nursery sometimes. But even through that business, I was introduced to alternate lifestyles where men wanted some of the products that I had. Talk about confusing my mind. And the neat thing was, I told my older sister, I don't want to drive all the way to Dallas by myself. Why don't you come with me? Her eyes got big. But the lady who called and asked me to do it was one of my former teachers at the school that I was at. So it was okay. And we went, and she says to me, I can't believe you drove all the way down to Dallas. It was probably one of the biggest classes I ever had. I sold over $1,000 worth of stuff, and they wanted to have it all right then. And I mean, they were just so friendly, but they did get the male products, I will say. But God showed me they were real people. They're real people, just like you and I. They put their shoes on 1 foot at a time. They get dressed just like you do. They go out and work like you do. And they enjoy life like you do. But I got to be a witness at the same time I was there. And I don't have no clue how all that worked out in the end, but I know that God worked a lot in me through that situation. I just have to pray that some of those seeds were sown for his glory. But in all of that, there comes up this scripture in 1 Peter. It says, in 1 Peter 1, 6, and 7, it says, so be truly glad. I wasn't too glad always to be the misfit. I wasn't too glad to know that there is a wonderful joy ahead. Ahead, I want it now. You know, the younger we are, the more now we want it. And even though you must endure many trials for a little while. Why does God stick those things in the Bible? I don't understand it. But we do understand that I do now that I'm on the other side of some of them. Trials will show that your faith is genuine. It's all about what's in our heart. And that's what God's trying to bring out, the good, the bad, and the ugly, so that we can turn it towards him. The point of Peter's letter was that we should persevere through our storms. That was his whole point of writing it. So in order for it to be in the Bible, God had to, you know, lay it on his heart, and then he wrote it, and it ended up in the Bible. I think it must be important because I'm sure there were a lot of people writing things in those days. But only those that were inspired by God made it into the book. We have an eternal hope in Jesus. And we got to witness last week the baptism of those who were following the Lord in baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We got to hear about the Holy Ghost last week 9 times. It was an exciting week for us. But praise be to God that we have a new birth, that we have the opportunity. And you know what? It's not just for us in this room. It's for all. We are chosen, but so is everybody else. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't care what color hair, teeth, freckles, whatever you have. If you're tall, skinny, short, and not so skinny, fluffy. But he gives us that new birth and hope through his resurrection. And our inheritance is laid up for us in heaven. We got to go to Branson last week, and it was a blessing to get to hear some of the good old gospel songs in some of the shows, because growing up in another denomination, that's what we did, all good old gospel songs. But it was good to be able to clap hands, raise hands again, and not get in trouble for it, because that inheritance is kept for us in heaven, but it's there for all of us, too. This isn't just it. This isn't all there is. There's a whole lot more. When you think about the year you were born and the year you died, there's only a little dash in between. It goes on. Our eternity goes on way beyond that. We've been called to live a holy life, it says in 1 Peter 1:14 to 16, as obedient children. How many people have children in here? Old, grown, whatever. Want to have children in here? Old, grown. We've got some that I just found out are just now pregnant. So I'm sure they're going to want their child to be this. As obedient children. Now, those of you who are experienced, did yours come out being obedient? Does yours sleep all night right away? Do they clean up after themselves right away? No. Do they sit where you tell them to sit? They do when they're sleeping, like this little guy is. But boy, once they start getting mobile, trying to keep up with them is a full-time job. So as obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Now, I'd have gotten in trouble if I used the word ignorant in church or anywhere, because I would tell my siblings, you're ignorant. Well, Mom didn't like that word. And one day the pastor read the scripture, and I turned to my mom. I said, see, the pastor uses it. Guess who got in trouble after church? But it does say not to be that way, okay? But just as he who called you is holy, he's inside you. That makes us holy too. But we got to act like it. You know, we used to tell our kids, you're not a bad child. You're good. Now act like it. They're not bad. God didn't create them bad. He created them good. They just have to learn like we have to learn. We are being built into something bigger than any of us could have ever imagined. If Jesus is the cornerstone of the church, and Jesus lives in me, and in Joe, and in Billy, and in Tiffany, I could get her again, and Danielle, we're all stones. We are all parts of that stones. We are building up the temple of God. Driving through Missouri in the Ozarks, you see a lot of stones, big ones, little ones, crumbling stones. What kind of stones are we being? What are we being? You are the living stones that the Bible talks about because Christ lives in you. It is his temple, again, that we are building. Old Testament had the temple. We got to see sight and sounds David, and you see them carrying the Ark of the Covenant in, and David dancing, as his wife said, in his underwear, almost in his underwear, but it wasn't. It was his tunic. But we are that temple now. We have Christ living in us. So we need to keep that in mind when we're living our daily life. We are called to reach others. And 1 Peter in 2, 11 and 12, it says, dear friends, I warn you. It's like that triangle with the poison thing on it, I think, sometimes. As temporary residents and foreigners. This world is not our home, just like the gospel song said. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And I love our new praise and worship songs, don't get me wrong. But it's nice sometimes going back to those old words and remembering, because those are the ones that you stood there and held the hymnal for all six chapters or verses, and there was nothing on a board, there wasn't anything, and there was only an organ and a piano. So all you had to look at was the word and try to harmonize and try to do it. But you did learn them. The words got into you. They passed through your eyes, came through your mouth, into your ears, and they're in there. And if you're faithful, we learned that last week, if you're faithful, put it in. God will be faithful to bring it back when you need it. Live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. What would your neighbor say if I walked and knocked on the door and said, hey, how's that couple that live next door? How's that guy up there on the third floor? What's that girl like that lives beneath you in that apartment? What would they say about you? Now, I know we live in a society that says, who gives a flip what they say? God does. God does. And so many times we try to defend when people say something about us, but that's not the way we need to go. God's our defender. He is our, what's that word, Billy? He is our vindicator. When we are done wrong to, God is our vindicator. We don't have to, unless he tells us to do something, we don't have to defend ourselves. Part of our persevering through our own storms, and a lot of those things may seem like little storms, but when they're happening to us, they're big. When the kids at school are making fun of you, when the people on the job are not treating you what you think is fair, those are big storms. And we each handle our storms differently. We've sure learned that this summer, haven't we? I can't imagine building a tornado in my house. But learning how to treat people the way Jesus would if he were living our life. He does live in us, but is he living through us? Are we allowing him to live through us? Examples, one thing is our government. Oh, gosh, that's a rough subject to bring up in church, isn't it? We all go, either some of us are, yeah, I want to hear what you say, or other ones are like, I know how you voted. I don't want to know anything about it. But 1 Peter 2:13 and 14, it says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake. It's not your agenda, Jack. If there's a Jack in here, I'm sorry. It's not your agenda. I'll say Joe, because I know there's a Joe in here. It's not about us. What does the word say about these things? Are we following our standards, or are we following God's standards? And I can promise you, from the beginning to the end of the Bible, God doesn't change his mind on anything like standards of living. Yes, there are times in Scripture, there were people like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Even Queen Esther wasn't always the queen, was she? And they had to disobey the authority over them. But they weren't inciting riots. They weren't tearing down things. They knew that it was a personal decision between them and God. God had told them to take a stand, and they knew their very life was at stake for doing it. They weren't involving others, but it ended up a major blessing for others. But they knew they could die by not following those things, but they did it anyway. And God was the fourth man in the fire, wasn't he? He was there for all to close those lions' mouths for Daniel, watching David slay that lion in Branson. It was like, whoa, how did they do that? It's amazing what technovision and all that stuff can do these days. But they knew their God. So if you're going to go to bat, or if you're going to stand strong on something and you're going to, I'm not going to do it just because, you better kind of go to the Scripture and make sure that's between you and God that's going on. Otherwise, it may not turn out quite the way that you think it's going to. Our neighbors, in 1 Peter 2:15 and 18, it says, it is God's will that by doing good, you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Boy, the Bible calls names, doesn't it? We are to live as free people, but not to use our freedom to cover up stuff that we shouldn't be doing, evil. And that's a biggie. God didn't make us free to be out here just, oh, you know, I think of the 60s. Oh, we're free. Yeah, we're free, all right. There were some free people, but they're not. They didn't stay free very long. We think it's free sometimes when we're starting it, but boy, it doesn't stay that way. There was a young man in one of my Bible classes. I taught 7th and 8th grade junior high Bible at the Christian school that Billy graduated from. And he was a cutie, but he said, I told a story one day. I says, you know, if I stopped, we need to live in such a way. If I stopped at the Easy Mart here on the way into school and I bought me a Mountain Dew and came in, that'd be all cool, you know. And I said, and Colt, or class, if you follow, you saw me pulling out, and you said, oh, Miss Holden's getting her Mountain Dew, and pulled in, and you went in there, and the guy said, do you know her? Yeah, I know her. Oh, she just came in, and she didn't want to pay for that, and she had such a foul mouth, and she was just having a fit about everything. Colt says to me, he goes, Miss Holden, I'd have stood up to him and said, no way was that Miss Holden. There's no way she would talk like that, act like that, or create that, because he knew who I was. He says, I know you wouldn't talk like that. And it blessed me because he was more one of the more quiet kids in the class. And so for him to say that, because he would have been in there saying it, it blessed me that, okay, something is sinking in. Because, you know, junior high's brains, stuff don't sink in real well all the time. Those wires are so crossed, it just don't get it. People at work. Ooh. One of the things my mother advised me upon getting my first job. I graduated high school in 3 years, so obviously you get out to work once you graduate. She said, when you accept a job, you accept the responsibility of performing it, and you do it to the very best of your ability. Doesn't matter what the people around you are doing. This is your job. You do it to the very best of your ability. You respect your boss. They're your boss. They have authority over you. You may not always agree, and you may not like everything they say and do, but you respect the position and keep your attitude right. You don't tell them your business, and you don't ask them theirs. Since those days of working, I've had a lot of bosses. And I've recognized, yep, I don't always like everything they do. But you know what? I never realized I'd grow up and be a boss one day, or that I'd be a manager, or that I'd this or that, or what, be a mom. I sowed good seeds, because you know what? That ground that gets turned up in those storms, when those seeds come and fall into it, they are going to grow. So what kind of seeds are we planting? Are we respecting those who have authority over us? You do it because, and just keep your mouth closed. I did that. In marriage and family, and Peter 3, 1 and 7, in wives, it says to submit to your own husband. And in such a way that if they're not believers, you draw them unto Christ. I have to say, I'm sure I have not always been a good wife. But Billy's dad was an unbeliever. Now, he said that he went to church when he was young, but his parents sent him so that they didn't have to put up with him on Sunday mornings. They just sent him to church because they lived in Chicago and they could walk. So he wasn't real sure what he had and hadn't done, but he knew he hadn't lived it. And I remember the day that he came crawling on his knees, bawling. And I'm sitting in a chair and I'm like, what's the matter? And he says, I just want what you got. There's something different about you. I want what you got. So I was able to lead him to the Lord. And in the church, it was my original church, kind of. We were taking classes on how to lead people to the Lord by flipping through a book and the Romans Road and doing all that kind of stuff. And I'm thinking, how many times do I got to go through the Romans Road and blah, blah, blah. But there was my book laying there, and so I got to use that book that I probably never used again to lead his dad to the Lord. But that's our reason. That's our reason to take others with us. Not being in harmony. It says at the very end of that it will hinder our prayers. We all have lots of prayers. Some of you, even after the first service, one lady came up to me and she goes, wow, our lives are like identical. And half of that stuff I said wasn't even in my notes. But that's how the Holy Spirit pulls things out. He knows what's in your hearts right now. And all of a sudden a thought will pop into my head, or I'll see somebody in the audience, oh, hi. And it's just kind of like, he knows. Our church, be the church to your community. 1 Peter tells us to, 8 through 22. It tells us how to be good neighbors, how to love one another, how to see each other through God's eyes, not ours. Because ours, wear funky glasses. Somebody said, oh, look at them little bitty glasses. Some have rose-colored glasses. Some have dark glasses. They're not seeing too clear. But we need to be those things to those people. We have four ways to respond when you feel outnumbered. Cultivate, number one, a yielding attitude. Here I am, Lord, whatever it is. And really mean whatever, because it could be weird. It's not going to look like you or unique. Let's say it could be unique. It's probably not what you thought it was going to be. You want to always respond with respect. You know, it's that our words, they mean so much, yet sometimes we loosely throw them around, not knowing what baggage other people are even carrying. And you know, Satan would have me walk over here and say, man, that shirt's a really good looking shirt for you, Andrew. It goes well with your tattoos. Look, the colors match really good. And somebody over here may hear, oh, she don't like mine? It's blue. I got blue in my tattoo. How come she don't like mine? Satan would have us get all twisted like that. You know, the Bible says he is the twister. So if anything is confusing in your life, it's Satan. If it's twisted, it's probably Satan. It's just, the Bible says it's his names. He's got more than one name, for sure. Just like you have more than one name when you're in trouble. William Allen, he's got more than one name. So we got to respond with respect, for we never know who's there. Choose to endure unfair treatment patiently. Anybody ever hear from your kids, that's not fair? Especially if you got more than one and you're letting one do something the other one's not. That's not fair. You gave them the bigger cookie. You gave them this. You gave them two pieces of chicken. I only got one. There's always, but you know what? Life's not fair. God never, was it fair Jesus hung on the cross for us? I always go back to that with kids. Oh, well then it was fair that Jesus hung on the cross for you? Oh no. But we got to choose to endure that unfair treatment. The last church that I worked for, I'd worked there for 7 years through the school, accounting, whatever they need me to do, I did it. And I was a very dependable employee, and I had never encountered not having a job, not by choice. Well, one day they had a big cutback and I was part of it. Talk about unfair. I literally had laid down my life. I just know I did. I was right there with Jesus, laying down my life for the ministry and doing whatever. I got in my car, and they assured me it was nothing I had done. They were doing a bit. Even the pastor's brother got cut back. So you know that there was a big cutback. I got in my car, and I sat there. I said, Lord, I know to trust you in all this. I know that. But what just happened? That doesn't make sense. I have all good reviews at work. I'm probably one of the most dependable. You know, pat myself on the back. I about choked myself doing that. I was one of the most dependable employees. They know my heart is totally, totally laid down. What happened? And I could hear just as clearly from him, Ruth, how does it feel to walk on water? And my personality, walk on water. I would have thought you here, do you want to get out of the boat? He said, Ruth, you would have never got out of that boat. You were so comfortable where you were. There's bigger things for you out there. I was limiting myself to that little spot. I would have never got to travel with him in the ministry, with the pastor, traveled all around Texas, Oklahoma, even up to Illinois and stuff when Charity was a baby. I would have never got to do that. I would have never fostered kids. I'd have never done that. I'd have never raised more kids than the ones I already had to raise. That was silly, being single. I never would have been able to have my mom with the 3 years with the Alzheimer's. I never would have moved to Indiana, probably. I never would have, even in fostering those kids, adopted some who are in the ministry. Probably never would have met Don. There's a lot of nevers would have happened, but I had to get out of that dang boat. So I had to decide to follow Jesus' example, not the world's. And Jesus' example was always to go to his Father. And that's what I had to do there in my car, go to the Father. I can't copy the behavior and customs of this world because they would have just gotten downright indignant. They would have got, and gosh, God knows, I could have never told my family that happened that way because I was the one who already had stepped out of the denomination. So see what happens when you step out of your denomination? No. Also, which I didn't even think of the first service, one of the other things he said to me, I knew something was happening when I had to walk across the parking lot to the meeting. I'm like, God, something's about to happen, and I think I know what it is. And he says to me, Ruth, what part of 7 years did you not get? I never had to do a resume in my life until certain a job. And when I put all this stuff together, every 7 years I changed jobs. I didn't know that. But it was 7 years to the day that happened. And it's like, wow, when you complete something, God, you really complete it. So in all of that, I could find humor. I didn't know what I was going to do. Didn't know how it was going to work out, but God's worked it all out. I don't think bad things happen to good people. I think bad things happen to everyone, and the way good people respond is what makes them good. Are we responding the way Jesus said to respond? That's what we need to do. It's not always easy because our flesh gets in the way. Oh, it does get in the way. But we can be sure of this. We are confident in that he who began a good work in each of you will be faithful to complete it when you yield things to him. He'll turn it together for good. I couldn't be standing here talking to you if that's not proof. Now, it may not be as good for you as I get tickled watching you and seeing you, and it's not about me for sure. But God is for you. He's not against you. He is your confidence. Could you put up the little picture, please? This is in my bathroom, and this is on my windowsill. It's a little porcelain bathtub. It's got little glass, those little rocks. And Jesus is walking on the water. So every time I go in my bathroom, I see my Jesus walking on the water. And I love it because he reminds me that I still can. If I look to him, whatever comes what may, I can still. And then there's a little video, and for those of you who are in the Connect group of being 55, let's get off our rocker. We were able to go to the movies, and they watched the Last Supper and stuff for Chosen. And this is the video that begins the show. And as I saw this the other day, I thought, how perfect. It's just a short video, but watch what happens. One fish going the other way. Is that you? Oh, look it. Somebody's turning, going with you. And there's more. Are you taking people with you? Lead, and they will follow. Be the example that they need to see, that they're not focusing on all the fish going the other direction. They're focusing on the one going in the right direction.